Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, world? My name is Pete Richardson, and I'm bringing at you live and direct here at 8 o'clock Central Time, displaying Saving Our Athletes Respectfully, abbreviated SOAR, which stands for SOAR. And SOAR is on a mission to improve economic growth by creating high-priority occupations, also improving life skills such as emotional awareness, maturing as an adult, going through business networking strategies, and providing future employment opportunities, no matter whether the individual's age, gender, or ethnicity. Saving Our Athletes Respectfully, abbreviated SOAR, is identifying the inner strength in oneself and exploiting it to become a better person and strive for the pursuit of happiness. Also, SOAR is a faith-based organization that is designed to prepare today's as well as yesterday's students for high-priority occupations, which include career categories that are in high demand by employers, have higher skill needs, and are most likely to provide family-sustaining wages. By doing so, I have developed a format that consists of a 7-step program called Success. Yes, I said it, Success. I chose Success because, in my opinion, this is one term that everyone has in common, no matter whether our circumstances, living situations. Majority, if not all, families preach on success in some way, shape, or form. That being said, I have broken down success in the sense of steps utilizing courage, commitment, expertise, stability, and self-control. In this chronological order, in these 7 steps, the first step is making the transition from an athlete to a business person. I know they might seem easy, but as I speak for all my athletes out there, and everyone to me is considered an athlete because everyone is running their own race. So the transitioning period is kind of difficult, I must say, as going through it myself. And the second is developing and constructing a high-impact resume. You got to have the resume on point. A lot of people kind of take for granted in high school, and some go as far back as middle school. I mean, I can't really speak for myself, but as hearing other people's life experiences and their journeys in life, hey, they kind of get started early. And third, understanding the fundamentals of interviewing. You must understand what you're going through. You got to be able to be there, become one with that person. Because, hey, you're trying to eat, you know what I'm saying? And fourth, interview practice and role playing. I mean, this is vital. Hey, once again. Once again, it's your boy Peter Richardson. I'm at you week two again for saving our athletes respectfully. And today we're going to talk about getting prepared for life after high school. Some people know from an early age exactly what they want to be when they're adults and how they're going to get there. Others aren't so sure of their plan, and that's okay too. Regardless of what you want to be, you most likely will be heading toward a higher education of some kind, and my success program can help you get there. You'll learn about careers, academic preparation for college, how to pay for college, and managing your financial life after high school graduation. All right, let's get down to business. First, you want to choose the right college. Soon, you will need to make a final decision about which college is right for you. Be sure to do your research and consider all the different factors. You can find out information about different colleges several ways. First, attend the college fair in your area. By doing this, you can ask your school counselor for more information. Second, contact college's admissions office. Third, review college's website. Visit campuses. And fourth, talk to financial aid representatives. You want to research these following factors, and they will help you make an informed decision. Next, you want to look at the programs offered. It's important to choose a college that offers a program or major you need so that you can complete the degree that you are pursuing. Take time to research the quality of the college. Ask around about their reputation, rank, and placement rate, or how many graduates are able to find jobs in their field after graduating. If you still are unsure of what field you will be studying, choose a college with many options. Plan to take a variety of classes. Then you want to look at the size and location. Are you looking for a college that offers many diverse programs and activities, or a small college where the professors will know your name? Do you want to go to college close to home or far away, in a big city or a small town? They're both great. Learn more about visiting campuses or taking virtual tours online. Consider all of your options and make a choice based on what's the best fit for you. Then you want to look at the type of college. Are you interested in a public or state college or even a private college? Each offers advantages based on what matters to you, such as lower cost, religious affiliation, or other factors. Also, be sure to choose the right kind of college, a two-year, four-year, community, or technical school. Choose the best one that fits your goals. And then the cost. Cost is an important factor whether when choosing the best college to fit your family's situation. Most students qualify for some type of financial aid, so be aware of the sticker price that won't necessarily be your out-of-pocket expense. Next, apply for admission. The fall of your senior year, it's time to apply for admission to college. Don't wait to apply.
even though some colleges may have rolling admissions, meaning you can apply at any time, they only accept students until their incoming class is full. By applying in the fall, you leave yourself time to decide on other aspects of college, where you will live, how you will pay for it, you know, and et cetera. Then next, there are standardized tests and placement tests. You should take standardized entrance exams in the spring of your junior or the fall of your senior year. Colleges will require you to take the ACT, which you can go to www.actstudent.org, or the SAT, you can go there by www.collegeboard.com. So be sure to ask each potential college which they prefer. There is a cost for these tests. However, you may qualify for a fee waiver. Speak with your school counselor for more information. Next is a college application. Request applications for the colleges you wish to apply. Applications may be available online or in a paper version. Either way, complete them fully and accurately. Most colleges require an application fee. If you cannot afford the application fee, contact the college admissions office to find out if they have waivers or not. And this was something that I struggled with. I had a full ride scholarship, but I didn't have the $50 because at the time that's what it cost to apply to Texas schools. I did not have that $50 to even apply for college, but I had a full, but my education was paid for. So I had to hustle and do what I had to do. So you want to ask your counselor to send your official transcript to each college to which you apply. Next, most colleges, they prefer essays and recommendations. Many colleges may require this written from your teachers, school counselors, or supervisors. Ask for help on your essays and recommendations early. It's vital. Trust me. Then you want to apply for financial aid. Financial aid is the term for any scholarship, grant, work, or loan program that can be used to help you pay for college. Most financial aid is based on your financial needs, not on grades. Financial aid can come in various sources. One, federal government aid. Two, state government aid. Three, colleges. Four, private foundations. And fifth, scholarships and grants. Search for scholarships as soon as possible and continue throughout college. Check for scholarships at your school's counselor office, from local businesses and organizations, and do a free online search. For kids who are in Lubbock, Texas, I have did that for you. All you have to do is contact me, and I can lead you in the right direction. You also need to complete the FAFSA, which is free application for federal student aid, through which you qualify for all types of federal aid as well as other programs. Also, complete any financial aid applications required by the college. Next is the FAFSA. The FAFSA should be completed in the January of your senior year. It cannot be completed before that time. The FAFSA requires information from both the student and his or her family. You can file for the FAFSA online at www.fassa.gov. The FAFSA will ask questions about your family's income from the previous year. If your parents have not completed their tax returns, they can estimate their income when completing the FAFSA, and you can make changes later if the actual information is different. The financial aid office will determine your financial aid eligibility based on your FAFSA. Remember that the first word in FAFSA is free, F-R-E-E. If you need help completing the FAFSA, it's available free of charge. Call in the financial aid office at a college to which you're applying, and then attending a college Gold Sunday event. You can look for these in your area at a website, www.collegegoldsundayusa.org. Next, attending a FAFSA financial aid night or a session at your high school would not be a bad idea. You should ask your counselor about the specific details. Contacting the financial aid office at a local community college and asking for help, or you can call the U.S. Department of Education at 1-800-4-FED-AID. That's 1-800-4-FEDAID. There are many services that guarantee you will receive financial aid if you pay to have FAFSA completed. These services do not offer access to any additional types of financial aid and may encourage you to borrow unneeded student loans. So be careful. Remember, you do not have to pay for financial aid here or scholarship services. Next is something I didn't know about while I was in high school, which is called the FAFSA or FAFSA. You can get a sneak peek or an estimate of a federal student aid eligibility with the FAFSA forecaster at www.FAFSA.edu.gov. There are several benefits to using this process. One, provides estimates so that you can compare cost of colleges. Two, calculates estimated eligibility for federal aid, including grants. Three, reveals the 51 questions for the actual FAFSA application, which saves you time. Four, it generates your federal student aid PIN, which is your personal identification number, which you will need to complete the FAFSA. And always remember that number. It's vital. And I bet you're asking when to complete the FAFSA. Apply for the financial aid as soon as possible after January 1st of your senior year. You can apply online at FAFSA.gov or use the paper application, which I stated earlier. Apply early in order to maximize the financial aid opportunities. A good guideline is to apply before February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day. So I know how all that goes. I was in high school once. So don't wait until after you've been admitted to college to apply for financial aid. The admissions process and the financial aid process are separate and have separate deadlines. Then you want to compare financial aid packages. You wouldn't buy a car without shopping around first, or you shouldn't decide on the college without making sure you fully understand what the cost would be. This leads me to the cost of attendance. Cost of attendance refers to the entire cost for a student to attend a specific college for one school year. The following is included in the cost, which what I'm about to tell you is tuition, room and board, travel expenses, books and supplies, and last is personal expenses, which is laundry money, chicken, and et cetera. I say chicken because I love to eat chicken. And then you want to consider the bottom line. Your cost of attendance is not necessarily your out-of-pocket cost. Be sure to consider the amount of financial aid you are being awarded. Your award letter from the financial aid office will outline the financial aid you are being offered. Pay attention to the bottom line or what your cost will be after financial aid. Also pay attention to how much gift money with scholarships and grants that do not have to be repaid you are being awarded versus borrowed money or loans. Fifth, you want to use these comparisons as one factor in your final college choice. This leads me to the grants and scholarships. Grants and scholarships are the best type of financial aid because they don't need to be repaid. Grants are usually based on financial need, while scholarships are based on a wide variety of factors. Be sure to understand how to maintain your eligibility for this type of aid. For example, you may need to maintain a minimum grade point average, study a particular subject, complete other paperwork, or you have to reapply each year. And this leads me into federal work study. This is something else that I didn't get as much insight on it than I wish I had going into college. The federal work study program is money that you can earn by working for an on-campus or off-campus employer as arranged by your college. You can earn up to the award amount you are given. Some students also choose to find their own part-time or in summer job in addition or instead of working for work-study funds. Excuse me. This leads me to student loans. Student loans must be repaid, and every dollar that you spend repaying loans is a dollar you won't have to spend on your house, car, vacations, and lifestyle after you're out of college. Before you agree to borrow student loans, make sure you have exhausted all other types of financial aid. Never borrow more than what you really need, and borrow only what you can afford to repay. Have an idea of what kind of salary you can expect as a graduate, and borrow according to what that salary will afford you. A good guideline is that student loan payments should be no more than 8% of what you take home, or what your take-home pay is. In order to determine the maximum, in order to see where you stand off in that, here's a website that you can go to, which is mappingyourfuture.org /pain/depthwizard. And now I'm going to take a break and lead you off with some jazz. So just go ahead and sit back and relax and kick up your feet. All right, let's talk about life after college. Graduation will be here before you know it, and your college years will fly by, trust me. Now is the best time to start thinking about your financial life after college. You can take simple steps during your college years to ensure you're financially ready for your challenges of supporting yourself. First, your credit report, vital, can't stress it enough. Just like your high school transcripts show colleges what they expect from you academically, your credit report tells the world what it can expect from you financially. That might not seem important now, and it may seem like someone else's business, but the truth is that your credit report will be looked at when you're applying for the following, which is a car loan, a home loan, a cell phone, which everybody uses these days, utilities like water and electricity, an apartment, and believe it or not, when you apply for a job. You want to start building a good financial reputation now. By doing so, you want to open up a checking or saving account at your local bank. Don't spend more than what's in the account. Have your paycheck directly deposited into your account. Third, learn how to use credit cards wisely, keyword wisely, or pay all your bills on time each month. Five, save money. Vital. Save as much money as you can every month. Even a small amount can make a big difference if you keep it up. A great goal is to establish an emergency savings fund large enough to cover at least 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. Set up a realistic budget and stick to it. Establishing a budget and sticking to it isn't easy, but it's the best way to be in control of your finances and to make sure money is going towards the expenses that matters most to you. Follow these steps as you set your own personalized budget. Make a list of your values and put them in order. Second, set your financial goals. There's three of them. Short terms are goals you want to achieve in the next 3 months. In immediate terms, goals you want to achieve in the next 3 months to a year. In long term, goals you want to achieve that will take more than a year. Then you want to determine your outcome. Fourth, determine your expenses. Then fifth, you want to create your budget. Think of your budget as a spending plan, a way to be aware of how much money you have, where it needs to go, and how much, if any, is left over. Your budget should meet your needs. First, food, housing, electricity, stuff like that. Then your wants, that you can afford, which is entertainment, new clothing, new phone, all the accessories in life. Your expenses should be less than or equal to your total income. If your income is not enough to cover your expenses, adjust your budget and your spending by deciding which expenses can be reduced. And I know growing up, that alone can be hard, because you have so much social media and everything that it seems like that everyone has, and you want to stay up in the game and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's all about you and how you prepare yourself for the future. And I just want to thank everybody for listening to my show. This is the conclusion of it. And if you're in the Lubbock area, I want you to go out and vote for Eusebio Gutierrez. And thank you guys for listening. May everybody have a blessed night. You can catch me here again at Block Talk Radio, Save on the Athletes, respectfully, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock. May everyone have a blessed night. Thank you for listening.